Good morning. Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Tuesday, May 21st. Sharing a table with us in the cafe this morning, the chairman of the Hunt County Historical Commission, Carol Taylor. Birthdays, born May 21st, 1844, primitive painter Henri Rousseau.
He started painting in obscurity 120 years ago. But now it seems Henri Rousseau has finally made it onto art history's A-list. Although his exotic scenes have long been popular, as posters they've graced a million children's bedrooms, in his own lifetime, the critics took a machete to his painted jungles. He was stigmatized as a naive, untrained amateur.
This day in history, in 1881, Clara Barton founds the American Red Cross. This is from a very professional school project by Peyton Nance.
The American Red Cross was created on May 21st, 1881, by Clara Barton and a few of her acquaintances. One of the many reasons that she created the American Red Cross was that she had witnessed the horrors of the Civil War and the effect it had on societies.
May 21, 1927, American aviator Charles Lindbergh becomes the first man to fly across the Atlantic when he lands in Paris. From the City University of New York.
At 10 o'clock, 5 New York time, he saw the lights of Paris. He saw the hangars, the roads jammed with cars. Safely on the ground, he had barely cut the engine when the crowd reached the plane. They shouted his name over and over again. Lindbergh, Lindbergh.
Number one on the charts this day in 1983, David Bowie with Let's Dance. On the KETR events calendar this Saturday, May 24th, a Memorial Day parade and auto show in downtown Commerce. Celebrate Memorial Day with Buck's Downtown Barbecue, 3D car wash and detailing, and the Tribe of Change. Food, music, and fun for children. Cars and bikes are welcome for a $10 registration fee in the parade. This is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, a Memorial Day parade and auto show in downtown Commerce. For more information, see events at ketr.org. Our guest in the cafe this morning is Carol Taylor, the chairman of the Hunt County Historical Commission. Good morning.
Good morning.
Carol, our thought for the day, and I know you've heard this, it's from Edmund Burke, the Irish statesman and political philosopher. Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it.
Right. And that is so very true.
I really believe that.
I do, too.
There's a lot of truth in that. Carol, we always talk about local history when you come to visit, and it may come as a surprise to a lot of people, but there was a time when Greenville was home to three opera houses.
Right. Not at the same time.
I see.
The first one was in 1882. It was owned by Mr. Rainey. Mr. Rainey later opened a bank in town, but at that point in time, he owned a store on the west side of the Courthouse Square. And he decided to make a little extra money by putting in an opera house on the second floor and, charging admission and bringing in acts. A few months later, Alexander Cameron, who had been county clerk, he was a captain in the Confederate Army. Personally, he's not one of my favorite people in Greenville history. I think he did some under-the-table dealings on lands while he was county clerk. But that's beside the point. He owned a general store directly across the street on the north side of the square, which is today Landon's. But Greenville really wasn't in big enough to have two opera houses. So Cameron kind of whispered around that he didn't know how stable the Rainey Opera House was, and, you know, it'd be a shame if that second floor fell in. And it wasn't long after that that Rainey went out of business as a opera house.
Boy, the small town politics and underhanded hanky-panky that goes on, huh? Good now, thing none of that happens today.
Oh, yes, of course.
Right, right. Now, probably the largest and best known was the King Opera House.
The King Opera House.
Right, which came a bit later then.
It opened 10 years later in 1892. There were actually three because they kept burning down.
Three different King opera houses.
Right, yeah. Right. But they were all located on the same spot.
Which is?
It's on Wesley Street between Jordan and Lee Street. Mm-hmm. It's right behind what we once knew as Henson's, the Henson Kickernick Lobby Shop.
Yeah, basically the corner of Wesley and Lee.
Right. Yeah. It's on the east side of the street. Mm-hmm. And then the Texan Theater wrapped around and bought... When it was opened, they purchased part of that piece of property. And the backside of the Texan is the old wing in the King Opera House.
The King Opera House. Of course, the Texan is now being renovated and will be reopening this fall. Yeah.
The King was very grand. The man who was the manager's last name was Teagarden. And Mr. King, who owned the King Opera House, sent Teagarden to New York with a blank check to buy any kind of scenery, props, whatever was needed.
We're talking with Carol Taylor, who's the chairman of the Hunt County Historical Commission, and we're talking about Greenville's history of opera houses. Now, opera house sounds very grand, and you said the King was sort of grand, at least for the time and for Greenville.
Right.
Opera, as you know, the grand opera that opera aficionados of today might know, probably is not what was typically performed there.
No, I don't think so. First of all, would the audience have enjoyed
right,
it?
Right.
You know, we were still in the early stages of opera houses, pretty frontier.
Yeah.
This was the borderland still,
mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how they would have responded to high class opera. But there were performances where, especially women singers, performed operatic or music. There were no, there was a band or a symphony, but it was not the grand that you would find in large cities.
Mm-hmm. Later on, a lot of vaudeville.
Lots of vaudeville.
And you tell me that you think the Marx Brothers played in Greenville.
I think they did. I know the Eddie Foy and the Seven Little Foys.
Yeah.
Were there.
Yeah.
There were a lot of minstrel shows, but those were not true minstrel shows. They were blackface.
Right, right.
The King was a social center, and women dressed very elegantly. They sat on the ground floor. The clothing, you know, they ordered their clothes from New York.
To be seen.
To be seen.
Yes.
It was very gracious times.
Yeah. Carol, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
Most welcome.
Carol Taylor is the chairman of the Hunt County Historical Commission, and you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETR.